The number of federal employees under age 30 drops nearly 3% over the past 3 years. That's according to recent analysis from the Partnership for Public Service and Deloitte. Agencies, of course, want to turn that around. Tim McManus is Vice President for Education and Outreach at the Partnership. He says some private sector consulting and tech companies are beating agencies at the recruiting game just by showing up first. Tim, it's back to school time for a lot of college kids. And from what you're telling me, they are accompanied in many cases by recruiters from private sector companies, but not by federal agencies. Is that correct, my friend? Thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me as always. Francis, that is correct. I think, you know, back to school this time of year not only signals back to school for the students themselves, but for a lot of those who are the employers who are trying to reach them. I think, you know, there are two types of students that are headed back to school this time at this point in the school year. Those that actually kind of know, particularly if you're looking at the graduating class, those that actually know exactly what they want to do and may, in fact, already have things lined up, and that may be lined up as a result of an internship or just a lot of conversation that they had last academic year, or those that are showing up who are still somewhat uncertain about what the future holds to them. And frankly, that second group is the larger of the two groups, which is I'm showing back up, I'm entering my senior year, I'm not quite sure what come May holds for me. And unfortunately for government right now, there are a lot of private sector folks who are actually hitting those campuses right along with them to kind of welcome them back and say, you need to think about us. And the question is, where is government in that equation?
Where is government in that equation? If this is something, I imagine this is not something the private sector companies just started doing this year. This is something that I imagine they've been on board with for a long time. So why is government so far behind on this?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that's hard to just change the practice that's already at play. And change sometimes comes easily, and more often than not, it doesn't come so easily. And I think ultimately, you know, there are a lot of at least perceived hindrances to why agencies aren't out there right now. They're waiting for their new budgets for 2016 to see what they're hiring, what they can hire and what they can't hire. And that's going to drive their recruiting processes. At the same time, Francis, the challenge is, to some extent, agencies have to be out there whether or not they have jobs in hand or not. And I think that's where it becomes difficult for agencies oftentimes to think about this, which is, I don't have jobs right now, therefore, why am I actually spending my time on a campus? I can't actually drive them to anything. I can't tell them to go to USA Jobs. I don't know that these jobs are going to be available. So I'm kind of wasting my time. My proposition or our proposition would be, no, you're not actually wasting your time, because at some point in time, those jobs will be in hand. And if students actually aren't made aware of you, what you're doing, what your mission is, and the job opportunities that may become available at some time down the road, they're actually not at all going to be interested in they're going to be moving on.
It seems to me that would be an ideal opportunity to show college kids 10 or 15 or maybe fewer if you really want to focus on particular areas of recruitment need, but show them profiles of jobs that are the kinds of things that you'd want to bring students with certain backgrounds into. Is that the kind of thing that the private sector recruiters do, Tim?
Yeah, absolutely. Profiling what those jobs actually really look like, and one of the great ways to do that, Francis, is to make sure that you've got the folks that are similar in age and similar in those types of jobs that you're recruiting for, to be with you on those campus visits as well, so that you're hearing directly from those who are doing the jobs. What's it really like? You know, we've all had interviews where we've sat in and we've said, so what's the typical day look like?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we always our first response is well, there's no typical day, right?
Right.
But if you can get insights into what that typical day might look like, or what some of the excitement and challenge of that day is like, and again, nobody can provide that insight like somebody who's actually walking in those shoes right now.
Yeah, and the other thing that person would be able to do is give what everybody says the college age millennials, whatever you want to call them, really want, which is a sense of the mission. What's the gig that I'm able to get in on? Not the day-to-day, will you sit in front of a computer, or you work in an office environment, or you work in this environment, a lab, or whatever the deal is. They want to get a sense of the big picture, it sounds like, from everything you've described to me and other people have described. And that's exactly what having the actual human on hand would be able to do.
Absolutely, and the fact that you're going to a college campus as well, it's a great opportunity to also try to tap into alums from that university as well and use them as an additional resource. Not only do they know the job and the mission of the agency, but they also know the campus and the campus culture and who are the movers and shakers that you really have to connect with to go beyond simply today's students, but try to make those connections with faculty and administrative staff so that further down the road you're actually really developing an ongoing pipeline. Line of talent too.
Tim McManus of the Partnership for Public Service. Is this a case where agencies might want to just look at what the private sector is doing and copy it outright, or is this a strategy that would be fine to use as kind of a model, but you'd have to tweak it and change it to suit a federal agency?
Yeah, look, Francis, I think that's a great question. I think this is absolutely something that if we look at best practices, this is a best practice that government can take lock, stock, and barrel and just replicate from the private sector and even nonprofit organizations that are doing this all the time as well. And really just, again, replicate that and take it. What we need to do is change our thinking. We can't wait until we actually have the job open before we start promoting it. At that point in time, we're actually going to miss a large segment of the population that's actually both interested, eligible, and who is really highly qualified. Instead, what we're going to get is anybody who's still left without a job at that point in time. And we can't, that simply isn't acceptable. We have to be proactive and intentional about our recruiting. And that means we actually have to sync our calendars, our recruiting calendars up with what academic calendars are.
Yeah, I'm going back and thinking about something, a possible objection that you talked about at the beginning of our conversation, which is we don't have openings right now. Those kids don't need jobs right now.
Right.
They're not
right.
Available till May. So you've got between now and May to start to develop that relationship and figure certainly just about every agency I can think of is probably going to have some pretty significant openings in the next 8 months.
And that's what it's all about, really, at this point in time, is not placing somebody in a job right now, but it's cultivating that talent for when, and those relationships, as you said, Francis, for when you actually do have those job openings available. And again, if those aren't coming for a while, that's okay. But you need to start reaching students, and you need to start talking to them about what your agency does, the excitement, the challenge that's actually available with all of the jobs in your agency, and start priming the pump.
The good news, I guess, that I hear between the lines of what you're talking about, Tim, is I hear some work that's involved in identifying students in particular areas or alumni of organizations, of colleges where you're going to be doing recruiting and those kinds of things. But I don't hear anything that costs a boatload of money.
Yeah, the part that costs the money is actually getting yourself somehow, some way to a campus. If you're actually going to do things on the campus with a physical presence. And again, there are things that you can do to work around that too. You can do some virtual visits. You know, we all connect with folks around the country and around the world, not by necessarily seeing them in person now. But there is more time and effort that's required than financial requirements in this case.
What can you expect to see moving forward on this to see if agencies are making progress? Is it just getting out there earlier on in the year? Or are there other steps that would indicate that agencies are starting to crack this nut?
So I think that's the one is getting out there earlier. I think the second is as you're beginning to look at internship applications and what your deadlines for internships are. If your deadline for an internship, Francis, is April or May, guess what? You're going to get the students that are left over, because if you look at the private sector and even a lot of folks in government who are doing this really well, you're going to look at the late fall, early part of the first semester when internship applications are due. So again, I think there are several different things that you have to do to begin to sync up calendar and your recruiting opportunities to coincide with one another.